Three Para by Patrick Bishop. Read by Christian Rotzka. Three Para had a saying, "Be careful what you wish for." When word got around that they might be on their way to Afghanistan, everyone welcomed the news. There was a feeling that a major operational deployment for the parachute regiment was long overdue. It had been 24 years since they were involved in heavy fighting. That had been in the Falklands, a campaign that loomed large in the para legend. The paras had returned from the South Atlantic wreathed in glory. There were 2 VCs to add to their hoard of medals. They won famous victories at Goose Green and Mount Longdon. But in the interval, they'd done little war fighting. They were not sent to the first Gulf War, and were only given a subsidiary role in the second. There'd been the odd exciting excursion, like the mission to Sierra Leone in 2000, when one para helped rescue 11 Royal Irish Rangers held hostage by the rebel West Side Boys militia. But three paras' duties in recent years had mostly involved grueling but increasingly routine tours of Northern Ireland and Iraq. By the summer of 2005, everyone was ready for a demanding task. The parachute regiment was one of the youngest in the British Army. But in its short life, it had developed a strong identity and a powerful sense of its own capabilities and worth. The formation of a permanent airborne force was Churchill's idea. The new regiment was intended to bring together the fittest, most motivated, and resourceful men available. Its purpose was to cause the maximum damage to the enemy with minimal or no support. It was expected to operate behind enemy lines, undaunted by overwhelming superior enemy forces. Its spirit was summed up in its motto, Utrinque paratus, ready for anything. The first British airborne assault took place in February 1941, when a small band of daredevils jumped into southern Italy and blew up an aqueduct. In the remaining 4 years of the war, the paras built a tradition as illustrious as that of many of the ancient regiments they fought alongside. They were in North Africa and took part in the invasions of Sicily and Italy. They played a key role in the Normandy landings, notably at Merville, where they knocked out a gun battery protected from air attack by 12-foot-thick concrete, which threatened the invasion fleet. They were at the heart of the most famous airborne operation in history, Market Garden. The paras, alongside 2 airborne divisions of Americans and 1 of Poles, were dropped 100 miles behind the German front lines to clear a corridor across the Netherlands for the advancing Allied armies. The 10,000-strong British 1st Airborne Division was all but wiped out, and the key bridge at Arnhem it was tasked to capture remained in German hands. But the episode established an imperishable reputation for courage, resolution, and coolness. During the Suez Crisis in 1956, 660 paratroopers dropped into El Gamil Airport in darkness, securing it in the face of heavy opposition. Memories of Merville, Arnhem, and Suez still colour the para ethos. This pride in the past provides a reservoir of spiritual strength to draw on in hard times. "We are here to uphold something that has gone before," said John Hardy, the three para RSM. In nasty moments in Helmand, when fortitude was flagging, he would remind his men that their performance was under scrutiny, asking them, "The blokes who went through the war, through Arnhem, what would they think?" The path to the parachute regiment is hard. After an initial 3-day selection, would-be paratroopers begin 6 months basic training at the Army Training Centre at Catterick in North Yorkshire. Inside its gates, no one walks and everyone marches. A surprising number are poling themselves along on crutches. The chances are they're para-candidates whose limbs have failed to withstand the rigours of the course. The training washes out the unfit and the unsuited. The final selection, for officers and men, is made at Pegasus Company, known as P Company. It's designed to sort out whether or not you have the para-DNA. It's a rite of passage that those who have endured still talk about with pained awe years afterwards. It is, above all, a test of determination. The thing about P Company, which is difficult to explain to anyone who hasn't done it, is that it's not really a physical test.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?